This is Mary Jo McCurley at University Park United Methodist Church here in Dallas, Texas, and we are bringing you the wisdom of the sages. And we are thrilled to bring you Jill Fleming today, one of our wonderful sages at our church. Thank you for joining us, Jill.
I'm happy to be here.
I'm really glad you are. Tell us, where were you born?
I was born in New Rochelle, New York, because the town I grew up in, Larchmont, New York, didn't have a hospital and didn't have a high school, so we were a little enclave, and we had to go to surrounding towns for education and hospital needs.
Wow. So how many people lived in the town?
Well, the town's 1 square mile.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a little village, and it's outside of New York City, right next to Rye, New York, which is next to Greenwich, New York. So we were on that 95 corridor that goes up through New England.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, it sounds like it would be a quaint place to grow up.
It was wonderful. Beautiful.
And did you grow up a Methodist?
No. Once upon a time, we were Catholic. The whole family went to the Catholic Church. And at high school, I asked too many questions. And there was a situation that just our whole family sort of stepped away from the Catholic Church. And I went off to college after that, and my roommate was Presbyterian, and I started going to church. And during that whole time when we were not going to church, I would take my Bible and go down to the park that was right near our house. And when I say park, I mean this beautiful, it encompasses the whole coastline, and that was across the street from my house. And so I would go down there, and I would just read and try and learn. And as we all know, the Bible is fascinating. I think I started at Genesis, and yeah.
It's a good place to start.
Start there. Then when I went to college, as I said I'd go to the Episcopal Church, the Presbyterian Church, and I told my mom, I'm going to church, and I'm going to take my younger sister, who is 9 years younger than I am, with me. And she said, well, if you go to the Episcopal Church, I'll go with you. So that was a huge shift in our whole family. That then we all started going to the Episcopal Church. Then when Frank and I got married, I was still going to the Episcopal Church, and of course he was Methodist, and I had requested that we be Episcopal. And he said, okay, we'll go visit churches. And we went and visited several Episcopal churches, and no one spoke to us. No one. Not a hello, not we're happy you're here, no eye contact, no nothing. And so one Sunday Frank said, why don't we go to UP Methodist? And I said, well, okay. We went. And we were the tsunami of welcome came over us. And it was like, oh, so good to see you. Hey, Frank, nice to see you. Jill, glad that you're here. Hey, would you like to come to the New Life class with us? We have such and such as a speaker. And Frank literally turned to me and said, you happy? You happy? And I said, okay, this is where we are. So then we joined here. Well, I shouldn't say that. Frank already was a member, and I just did everything from being in charge of various things.
Let's hold off on that.
Okay.
We got to go back to college.
Oh, college.
Yeah, where did you go?
First, I went to Bradford Junior College in Massachusetts, and then I transferred to Ohio Wesleyan in Delaware, Ohio, where my brother was. So my brother and I went through our last 2 years of college. Well, actually, yeah, last 2 years of college together.
And what was your major?
Early childhood, child development. Mm-hmm. That kind of study of Piaget, inwardizing, outwardizing, making sure that you understand development. So development of how how we think, how our body develops, how we learn, all those different ages and stages. So that's the...
And so how did you get to Dallas?
My sorority sister was in law school. She was my big sis. I was a Kappa. And she came up to visit at Christmas for my birthday. And we were talking. I had just graduated. She was in law school at SMU. And she said, "Why don't you move down and hang out with me and get a job? You'll love Dallas." And I said, "Okay." And I literally packed three bags, three graduated red suitcases, and never thought that would be, but I was a Cowboy fan even back then, and I moved down here.
Well, they were America's team.
team. They were God's team.
Yeah, exactly. So when you came to Dallas, what kind of job did you get?
Well, I had graduated, and a friend of mine's dad was in advertising, and I worked for him for a while, and worked in Manhattan, and commuted, and it wasn't for me. And so when I came down to Dallas, I went to got another job in advertising, and they were mightily impressed that I worked on Madison Avenue, so I got a job really fast. And then I did that for less than a year and got a job teaching school. And I taught school.
And how long did you teach school?
Got my first job in 76? 75. And then I taught until Alex was born in 84.
And how did you meet Frank?
Well, there were a group of us. We happened to all be Kappas, and we would pal around, and we had, they were all, went to UT, and I hung out with all of them, and there was a Texas X's girls softball team, and my roommate was a Texas X too, and so we met. He was the coach for our Texas X's girls softball team.
Fascinating.
It was. He was a very enthusiastic coach. And my roommate and I were, we were short, petite girls, and we played against some pretty big girls, and I don't think we had a winning record, but we had a winning record of fun. It was a fun time.
And what year did you get married?
1980.
And I went to y'all's reception.
That's right. That's right. Mary Jo was there. I looked at some pictures not too long ago. I went, "Frank, look, it's Mary Jo."
Yeah, it's hard to remember who was it, what, in 1980, right?
Exactly.
So tell us about yours and Frank's family.
We have two sons. Alex is 39, and he's married to Hannah. And Hannah went to Baylor. And then they have a son, who's Cooper. He's our seven and a half year old grandson. And he's our only grandchild. And then Tyler is 37, and he is married to Laura, and they got married last year in Switzerland.
Wow.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
I bet.
And they are the proud parents of a dachshund. Cricket, who's really cute. So that's us. And then I have a sister and I have a brother, and Frank had two brothers and a sister.
And Frank's kin to Keith Boone, right?
Yes, they are first cousins. Frank's dad and Keith's mom were brother and sister.
Well, you do, you're sort of a Girl Friday around here. You do a myriad of things to help the mission of our church. Tell us what all you do.
Well, I think, I hate to use the word president of Altar Guild. I'm the chairwoman of Altar Guild, and we make sure that everything is taken care of with regards to decorating the church for Christmas and for Easter. And what most people don't really realize is that if you're an 11 o'clock communicant of the church, you may not be familiar that we have an 8:45 service that serves communion. And so I do all the communion prep. Anybody listening that would like to participate in preparing the, setting the table and such, I'm always looking for a few good volunteers. So that's one of the things I do. I've taught Sunday school, both adult and children, for years. You know, I really enjoy it. And if we can't cultivate our children, then we're not standing in the gap that we need to be one of those people in children's lives. I read a statistic that talked about how children need to have 9 adults outside their parents that are important to them, that pour truth into them, that help formulate and present the world to them. So I think that teaching Sunday school is one of those really important people. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I still remember my 8th grade Sunday school teachers were, yeah, Frank Stad.
Oh, wow.
And Sam Coates.
Oh, Sam Coates, yeah.
So, yeah, they had a big influence on me.
They do.
And both of them are lawyers, and I became one. So it's their fault.
I think you were a lawyer before Frank was, though.
So who would you say the people are that have influenced you?
Me? When I think of the church, and you're talking faith-wise.
Well, in any way, I mean...
We'll go down that road first.
Okay.
There was a woman, her name was Brenda Heffernan, and she was my 8th grade catechism Sunday school, Sunday school teacher, because I had left Catholic school and it was in the public school, and then you had to go to catechism classes. And she was the first person who gave me permission to ask questions. And for me, that is just one of those flags in life that it's okay not to know the answers, and it's okay to say, we can look for the answers, or I don't know. We'll look together, or I'll find somebody that knows the answer. I think that's a really important, especially at the age that I was. And then, anybody that's been in the church as long as I have and raised children here, we all own our ownership for guidance. Really was Gloria Thomas. She taught many a Bible study. I think I said to you the other day, her door was always open. And whether you were wrestling with, these children are driving me crazy, or I don't know what to do about this, or, you know, my mom is terribly ill. She was someone who always was there to listen and to guide. There's another woman named Jan Deering who I met on my walk to Emmaus. And have you ever just instantly met someone and you know you're going to be friends forever? Her sense of humor, her depth of faith, her leadership, her style, we just immediately hit it off. So I would say those three women were really influential in my life.
And you mentioned your kids growing up in the church. Did the youth department have an influence on them?
Oh, yes, because at that point, Alan was
Alan Hamilton
was the I just called him the Pied Piper. He just had a marvelous way with the kids, and during the confirmation, all kids get a friend in faith, or they choose one, and Alex chose Alan, and when Alex and Hannah got married, Alan and Andrew Hamilton and two other folks sang at their wedding. I mean, it's just the patchwork of influential people in all of our lives, in the Flemings' life, that was just really important. That was really important.
So what would you say the philosophy you've had that has propelled you through life?
Oh, man. Philosophy in life. I think back to my parents, who were faithful people, but were faith-based people, but they were not articulate about their faith. And I think of the life lessons that they taught me. My mom was a phenomenal church volunteer, and she was in charge. She was incredibly artistic and talented, interior design-wise and painting-wise. Both mom and dad really raised us with a can-do attitude. And if you don't know, ask. And always try. And don't just put your best foot forward. And I remember translating that with my own kids of saying, I don't care what your grades are. I want to know that you've worked hard, that you've given it your best, that you put your best foot forward. Alex took a class in college that he probably shouldn't have, because it required far more reading than he was comfortable with, because he is dyslexic. And I said, why did you choose this class? And he said, because my attorney brother said it was an easy class. And I said, and are there majors, English and history or poli-sci? And he said, yeah, how did you know? And I said, well, because they would say that this is an easy class. And I said, you know, you're a math and science kind of guy. You're an engineer. And he said, Mom, you always told me if I just tried my hardest that that was good enough. And if I got a C in it, it was fine. I said, I stand by that. But I still think that when we have a positive work ethic, whether it's for church, your business, your marriage, your community, your relationships with others, I mean, giving it your best is probably has been a driving force for me.
What do you see as the future of University Park?
That's a loaded question. I think we're in for some transitional hard times. But we have always been a church that has fostered and done a good job on helping raise children. I think that especially our elementary and such, we've really always had a very strong presence. And when my guys went through, of course, it was the youth was also included in that. I think the future is not going to be the future that I might have designed pre-COVID. I think COVID is the experience that a lot of people have, I'm just going to say the word, they're kind of lazy, and they stay home, and maybe watched on TV, and yes, they can justify it by their home with their children, and they're all doing it, but there is something critically important about being present as a community, within a community, and worshiping corporately. And I see that as being a goal for the church, and I'd like, that's what I'd like to see.
How do you want to be remembered?
I think that after going to so many funerals and memorial services, that's a conversation that Frank and I often have. And I think that's a question that we all have to examine. I think back to what I've done professionally, and I guess I could say honestly that I champion children, and I champion the one who had no voice. And I see that so much in the students that I work with, is they need someone to understand their journey and to help them on that educational path of getting any kind of services that they need, or even being a mediator between a student and a parent to help them understand what the child is coming up against. So I think I champion the underdog a lot of the time, even though, you know, my motto might be, you know, do the best you can and your effort is what counts. It doesn't always have to result in a 4.0. It has to do with building confidence and having kids taste success. So I think that's something that I really, championing the student, the family, the kids who can't articulate what they need. And that is something that I'm grateful that I've been able to do throughout my career.
Thank you so much, Jill, for sharing with us part of your life and who you are. And I think our listeners will feel optimistic about our church because of it, that we've got great leaders like you here. To our listeners, we appreciate you listening to our podcast and hope you will join us next week. May God be with each of you until we meet again. And remember that we are forever beginning.